Well, welcome, guys, to another episode of Dad's Roundtable. This is the Roundtable, and I got some dads here with me. I'd like to introduce who we got here at the table, Jason White, Jared Chambers, and Mark Taylor. Guys, thank you so much for being here as we record an episode and just talk about what it means to be a dad, kind of the job responsibilities and the roles and the things that we go through as men as we pursue a Christ-like life. Let's go around the horn really quick. Jason, get us started. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do at Crossings, and who's in your house.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Thanks for having me here. My name's Jason, and I'm one of our worship pastors here at Crossings Community Church, and I'm currently at the Edmond location. And it's been a joy. I get to work with Mark pretty closely, and so it's been a joy to be out there this last year. Been at Crossings for about 13 years. Yeah. So it's been awesome to have this new change. And with that, I got married just in the fall of 22 to my beautiful wife, Katie. And with that came an amazing son named Ben, who's 9, and he's at the school. He's a second grader at Crossings Christian School. Yeah. So it's been awesome.
And you're coaching, Coach Ben.
I'm coaching. We got a dog.
There you go.
All the things. You're in it. It was like, we just go right into the deep end.
Yeah.
Let's just do this.
Yeah. Well, the way I introduce Jason is he's a preacher who happens to lead worship. Because if you hear him on a Sunday, you got a lot of depth there. And I know you're going to share a lot today with the dads on the podcast. Next, we have Jared Chambers. Tell us a little bit about yourself and new to Crossings and new to the Dad's Roundtable. So,
absolutely. Yeah, thanks. Jared Chambers. I'm the location pastor at Crossings Mayfair. I was there for about 12 years and then God did something crazy here. Mm-hmm. And now I'm a part of Crossings, which I'm so excited to be here and grateful to be a part of this team. I'm married to Lauren. We have 2 kids, Sutton, who will be 6 tomorrow, and then John will be 4 and a couple of days after that.
Well, next is Mark Taylor, a repeat attender at the Dad's Roundtable. Is this your second or
offender?
Third? I said attender. Repeat attender. Mark Taylor, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, Mark Taylor, the location pastor at the Edmond location. So Jason and I get to work together closely. I've been at Crossings for attending for about 16 years on staff. For 4 years, we just as COVID was kicking off, I thought, hey, what the heck? I'll jump into a church setting and no one's here because we're all online. But no, it's been good. I have a wife, Erin. We've been married for 24 years. I got married in 2000, dang. So that helps quickly remember that. Yeah. 2 kids. My son Samuel is 19. He's just finished his freshman year at OSU. Daughter is a junior, just finishing her junior year at Crossings School.
Meredith.
What did I say, Erin?
You just didn't say her name.
Oh, Meredith, yes.
Yeah, thank you. Just helping you out.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you guys taught a Sunday school class before you took on that role, right?
Yeah. We did a newly married Sunday school class here at the OKC location for about 5 years.
And
that was a really cool time. Big learning experience for us.
So you've been leading and discipling dads and young newly married families for a while, so.
Yeah.
A lot of wisdom to share.
I hope so. We'll see. Still learning.
Yeah. Well, I'm Matt Cartwright. I'm the men's pastor here at OKC location. I have 2 kids. Tatum, she will be 10. Yeah. She'll be 10 this year. Wow. And Declan, he is 7, and I'm married to Courtney. We've been married 17 years this May. So awesome. We went to Waco. We went to the Magnolia thing for the first time. Yeah, just a little road trip. It was great to get away. No kids, road trip, and you know, one night away, just what we needed. So
that's the year 17 rule. At year 17, you have to go to Magnolia Farms.
Is that the list?
That's the list.
Yes, okay.
Yeah,
you got to get like a candle and like a tea cloth thing or like a dish towel or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And something shiplap in your house.
Yes, that was my next comment. It has to be something shiplap.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you for being here. I know each of you personally, and I love working in the ministry with you, but I know you have a lot to share with the dads that are listening. So let's dive into it. Let's get after it with our topic today. What I want to talk about is what does it mean to be a man of God? And where I got that from is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, writing to this young disciple, like, hey, be aware of these false teachers. Be aware of the pursuit and of evil things. Resist those evil things, like the love of money or this idea or misunderstanding that godliness means financial gain. And then in chapter 6, verse 11, he turns to Timothy and he says, "But as for you, man of God, flee all those things. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith." So I kind of want to use that verse, that charge of Paul to Timothy, "You, man of God, pursue these things." So guys, today I want to talk about how do we pursue these things? How do we achieve this status of man of God versus man of the world? And maybe we can contrast that a little bit in our conversation. As Paul is talking to Timothy, what are your thoughts on that? How does dad and a man of God pursue those things? Mark, why don't you tee us up? You had some good thoughts earlier.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, it to me, everything's going to come back for me. Everything's going to just come back to, like, there's some things that we just need to do, like coming together to worship collectively, learning, so studying the Bible, studying the Word, what to learn truth, and then hanging out with guys, mm-hmm. Having a small group. To me, that kind of brings, that's kind of the foundation for all of this stuff to start to come together. And I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that, but something different there or something that you would add to that or...
Well, kind of that idea, you're the collective sum of the three to four friends you have around you. So being in a group of other men who are pursuing these things as well will push you in that direction, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think too, we were kind of joking right before this take, but if you think that you're perfect, you know, you're probably not perfect. Mm-hmm. And if you think you're the best dad, you're probably not the best dad. But we all can kind of justify things and we see things in our own light and have people around us that we can trust that could call that out in you. Like, you know, maybe that wasn't the best thing when you were yelling at your kid when they dropped their sandwich or whatever it was.
Yeah, I think, Mark, you're asking people to, a couple of ideas you threw out, but, you know, be a part of a worship, be a part of a group of people who encourage you to be better, as Matt was saying. But we're asking people to make an active choice to pursue something. I think that's the word that stuck out to me when Paul was writing to Timothy, "But you, man of God, flee from all this other stuff and instead pursue righteousness." And I think sometimes we view righteousness as almost just the absence of sin or the absence of bad things. And if I can just avoid doing all this other stuff, then I'm good. But that's not what Paul's asking Timothy to do. He's saying, I want you to actively choose to go after what's good. Go after righteousness, pursue it. It's an active, not a passive thing. And I think as we're looking as dads, how do we be men of God, pursue righteousness? Don't just try to eliminate things from our lives. Don't be passively righteous, but really try to plug in, make an active choice to bring righteousness and godliness to your life and then byproduct to your household.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say, is that it's active. Like, that's the word that is pursuing means I'm running after these things. Doesn't mean I'll perfectly grasp these things, right? And especially as I'm new to this and trying to step into that world, like, all of it is brand new in terms of seeing it from a dad's perspective. And so this pursuit, you know, I think about as I'm pursuing it, God's going to give me opportunities to have faith, to show love, to test my endurance, to have gentleness. Like, it's not just like a fairy dust sprinkling of like, God, give me gentleness for my, you know, my son. And he's like, okay, here you go. It's like, he's going to drop the ravioli on the stairs as he runs upstairs, which happened 3 nights ago. And am I going to be gentle with that? Or am I going to let my flesh just speak out of its fleshly desires? And so it's like, he will give us these opportunities. So it's an active, ongoing, you know, building of this pursuit, you know?
And I think, you know, even look at the things that Paul lists there, like righteousness and godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. I think when we look at our personas as men, that's not what we default to, right? Like, your kid drops a ravioli on the stairs and your first response is, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And for us, you know, I think of my son who's three, about to be four, who is 100 miles an hour all of the time. Like start to, like he's fast twitch, he's jumping off of things, he's running off of things, he's banging his head on things. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, what are you doing? And then I go, oh wait, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. Just in different aspects of life.
Correct.
It's now and it's fast and it's go. And then what Paul's asking Timothy to do is actively choose these things, which probably don't come as a first response to you.
Correct.
Gentleness, love, endurance, not a fast twitch move, but letting things play out and be active about those things, choose those things, and it's going to have to be a conscious decision.
Hey, back to the pursuit thing. That was it's an interesting concept of what to not do. You're talking about if we focus on what not to do versus what we should do.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about like with my wife and when I'm pursuing her, and especially because you're still new in that pursuit part, which we all should be doing that. But that's the hard thing as you get longer married and the pursuit's done. I already got her and you move on. But you know, when I'm thinking about pursuing Aaron, I'm not thinking of, okay, just don't do the bad things. I do think of that. But if I'm focused only on that, then it is a very empty, shallow relationship. And it's the same thing with God, right? I mean, if we're only thinking of, okay, I'm not supposed to drink and smoke and I'm not supposed to cuss and whatever those, you know, things that we think that are the bad things instead of, he wants to spend time with me. So that's just praying, you know, just when I know I've got a friend going into surgery and I just want to lift that person up. God wants to hear that from me. And just like my wife wants to hear about my day when I get home, and she wants to, for me to share that, even though I think that's a waste of time. And like, why do you need to know this? I've already gone through it, but it's part of that building that relationship.
Mm-hmm. So are we to think about this pursuit as never actually reaching the finish line? Is that what we're saying? Like it's not an open the door, walk into gentleness. Mm-hmm. There. I wasn't, now I am. But it's a step and a step and then another step and then another step in that right direction. Is that what we're saying? It is a long-term pursuit.
Continuous pursuit.
Continuous pursuit.
I mean, that's the idea of faith to me. So yeah. Faith is a lifelong journey. And if at any point, as we were talking earlier about being a dad, you think you've got it, like, oh, I've got this thing figured out. Got God figured out. I've got this whole relationship with him figured out. You really don't. And I think up until our dying breath, I mean, we should be pursuing and learning about God and taking that next step in our relationship, whatever the next one is. And I think that's gonna take place in all of these things as well. I especially look at pursue endurance. I mean, like that's the definition. This is a long game. Yeah. Like endurance takes the big picture. It takes perspective. It takes letting go of that immediate gratification and looking at what's down the road and allowing the process to take place and allowing the race to run over time, at a jog, whatever your pace is, mile after mile after mile, and letting it happen instead of just, okay, here, now I'm done. What do I do next?
It's the not growing weary of doing good.
Yeah,
like
that's
Paul
right.
writes that in Galatians. But that seems like a daunting task for a dad. And I think there's different challenges depending on the age and stage of the kids. There's new challenges that arise. And then you're like, well, I just built up the stamina for a 5K and now I got to run a 10K because this kid, or, you know, like there's a new challenge set before you. So where do we draw that endurance from? Where does that come from? How do I know that I'm being built up in that type of endurance that I can sustain that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The Sunday school answer, Jesus.
Jesus.
We all know that.
Read your Bible.
But practically, I mean, that's why we're called to come together, to worship together, to have, you know, be in a small group with guys. That's where I need that. I get just this conversation we're having now, and it's a reminder of, oh yeah, just I finally figured out the sleep schedule when the kids were small, and then it changes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then all the guys around the table laugh and like, oh yeah, I remember when that happened.
You just wait.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You think you got it figured out, and it's
that perspective is important. You know, finding people who have been there that are able to help you gain that next perspective. I remember my parents telling me, you know, when we were new parents with a newborn who wasn't sleeping and we were just exhausted and tired, and you feel like in that moment, that it's never going to end. Like, I'm never going to sleep again. This is over. And I remember my parents being like, laughing. I mean, like, in about a couple of weeks, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it will change. And then just hearing somebody vocalize that kind of helped pull me out of that state to be like, okay, there's somebody else who's lived this and experienced it. And they can speak into my life and say, oh yeah, I know how that feels. But like, just wait.
It'll pass.
It'll pass. Something else will come, mm-hmm. but also some more good things will come. And the thing that's right in front of you right now won't last forever.
Yeah.
And so I think finding those other voices who are at different stages on that lifelong journey that can speak into your life and help move you out of those moments is incredibly helpful.
Yeah. Scott Conrad, he's on our life care team. He counseled me one time. He was talking about our weaknesses. He said, where do my weaknesses take me? And it is a Sunday school answer. It is the typical pastor answer, but it's so true. It's like, do my weaknesses take me to Jesus? Do my weaknesses help me understand that I am a fragile jar of clay being used for something way bigger than myself, and that's leading these kids in this house in a godly way? I'm fragile. I am broken at times. And so where does that brokenness take me? Is that weakness take me to my flesh and wanting to lash out? Or does it take me to him and his godly counsel, either through other men or his word? And I just finished a study in Proverbs. And that was so frustrating. Because you want Proverbs to be like, you can do this and it'll lead here.
Yeah.
Okay, three chapters later, you said the exact opposite.
That's right.
Now what?
Right.
And that's God's wisdom.
Yeah.
That you've got to be able to make right decisions when rules don't apply. And that's how we apply his righteousness and his wisdom as we mm-hmm. teach and lead, right?
So yeah, yeah. There's not enough in the Bible to answer every single question directly. You know, it would be gigantic. Yeah. You know, we wouldn't even fit it. But it gives you the wisdom to know, okay, now in this situation, this is how I will be able to tackle this. And but if you're not studying, if you're not in the Word, if you're not with in a Bible study or some type of a group, then we start to lean on our own interpretations of what we think that is and what the world has been telling. You know, we're all kind of pulling in this wisdom from somewhere, or information, maybe not wisdom. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing we need to really watch for. Where are we getting that information that's guiding those decisions?
Well, and I think something I've learned, especially all of us in our pastoral roles, that temptation, we're always challenged to like, don't just read the word to give to your sheep for like a sermon or for a service or a Bible study. And I think that's the same, what I'm learning as a dad is like, I mean, Paul's telling Timothy this for him. He didn't say, because you're a dad of three kids, pursue these things. It's like, we have to do this just for our own souls to pursue godliness and righteousness, faith, love, endurance. Then how do we model or explain that? Like, no human strength could endure that on its own.
Right.
So if you're not tapped into the Holy Spirit, I mean, two of these, gentleness, love, faith, like these are fruits of the Spirit, meaning you cannot show gentleness without the Spirit of God. You might have a moment of it, but you can't live in it. And I think that's what, I keep learning as a man, is that it's not just a momentary giving. It's a way. Like, is gentleness something that follows through you, or do you just have good moments of gentleness? But if you were to equate it, it's like way out of balance. That would mean that you just had a good day, and so your flesh was more gentle that day. But those in the Spirit, it's when the day's been tough, and it's like you're in the car before you get out of the house, and you're like, sorry, I get emotional. Talk about my family. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm gonna be faithful because I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
like, I can't do this tonight on my strength because I've already got the text that like, hey, it's a little rough right now inside. And so you're just like, you could go in with that iron fist and be the, I don't mean physically, but I mean like that, like we're not gonna do that. But you're just like, God, please, like, give me patience, like keep the patience you've been working in me. Give me gentleness with them when there's argument. Help me to be a source of peace, and like that is tough because we are also challenged as men to do it all on our own.
Yeah.
And, I always think about when Paul says, that I will boast in my weakness because He's made stronger in my weakness. And so if I say I can't do this, I'm actually going to be a better father than being the dad who's like, I can handle anything that my family throws at me. It's like, well, you may not have a family very long that wants to be around you, because I just don't know how you could do that without it being a negative effect to your family.
Yeah. And you mentioned something about, like, you know, this is Paul's charge to Timothy as a person, as a human being, not as necessarily a leader of a family. Like, this is you. Like, this is important for you. And I think about that. We were just in Rick Kola's Sunday school class a couple of weeks ago. Lauren and I were and did the couple questionnaire. And one of the questions was, you know, how do you keep Christ as the center of your married life? And as Lauren and I were discussing that, we kind of just, it was an aha moment between the two of us, which is, you know, I'm a pastor and it didn't come to my mind immediately. But as we were talking about it, we really came to the conclusion that for us, like, it doesn't become a part of our relationship together unless it's a part of our relationship separately. If it's not a part of my life and it's not a part of her life, when we come together, where's it coming from?
Correct.
And so in order for Christ to be the center of our marriage, Christ has to be the center of my life and it has to be the center of her life. Correct. And then when we come together, it's automatically the center because we're together in him. And so when we look at this being a dad and pursuing these things, like, they're not going to manifest themselves out of nowhere. And if I'm not pursuing them myself before I get home, where are they coming from?
Correct.
And I think that's one of the job descriptions of dad that we've been using is to provide and set the spiritual climate. And I think that's an example of how the spiritual climate is set in the house. And I can't tell you countless times that I'd pull in the driveway, 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 3 minutes of quiet. I'm like, all right, Lord, hands on the steering wheel. I'm parked in the driveway. Be with me, God. Yeah, I don't know what I'm walking into, but be with me. Yeah. But if I'm here to set the spiritual climate, then I've got to work on that, because that'll be felt, and it's going to affect the climate that I'm trying to set, right? So dads have to start with themselves. You've got to work on yourself, because you'll only be effective as your kid to your kids as you are with yourself. So that's a good point.
Well, it's the analogy we've heard in other areas of our lives, but it's true that I'm learning is, you know, be a thermostat, not a thermometer, because a thermometer doesn't need a source to tell you where it's at, but it's reactive.
Yep.
And this is what we're talking about pursuing, is that it's not like passive and reactive. It's a forth going, and it's active, and our thermostats are plugged into a power source to control the temperature of the room that you're within. And so for us, it's that role to serve as being, it's really hot in here right now. We need to cool it down. But the temptation is our flesh wants to just engage as a thermometer. Like, oh, it's hot. It's hot. Yeah. And I've got nothing for us.
Yeah. So. And just, I think I mentioned this on episode one of the first series of the Dad Podcast, but putting your oxygen mask on, that whole thought of when you're in the plane and it's, you know, decompressed, and you have to put the oxygen mask on yourself so you don't pass out. And then now you can help everyone else. And that truly, like, if we're not focusing on ourselves, on our relationship with God, then when the time comes to, we've got to cool down this room, we're not going to have the strength to do that on our own.
Yeah.
So it's really put your oxygen mask on first and then check the temperature and...
But unfortunately, sometimes my flesh is like, oh, it's hot. Let's make it a little hotter.
Yeah, that's right.
And it does not, I feel good for the moment because I got my quick zips out. Like, oh, but then you're like, I just made this worse. And what have I created?
Yeah, there's a residual effect or ramifications of indulging in our emotions. Like, oh, you think that was hot? I can get hotter. I'm going to ramp it up a notch. And we don't have that privilege. We can't do that, no matter how much ravioli is on the carpet. Now, there's times for discipline. There's times for instruction. There's times for guidance. And there's a way to do that. But if we're pursuing these things, then those moments are that it's game time.
Yeah.
It's a game time of, like, have I been practicing these things? And now, okay, here's a game time moment to actually put it in action.
Yeah. And what about not winning? So if they have that... conversation.
I don't know what
whatever.
You mean, Mark.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's
just, we just talked about my wife. I know. Yeah. I know what it's like not to win.
Yeah. And I'm a competitor and I want to win at everything. And every conversation we have, I want to be right about everything. Mm-hmm. But when I'm plugged in, when I've had that oxygen mask on, then I realize if I push to win in that situation, we lose. You know, it's not a win lose. It is a
we
win or lose together as a family, even kids and wife.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we could go on and on about what it means to pursue this opportunity to be a man of God. But what are some practical things? Let's talk about some next steps as we close. So I'm at the Oklahoma City location. We have Mayfair represented. We have Edmond well represented. What are some next steps for our men? What should they look for? What should they be part of or plugged into? Whether it's Crossings Church or maybe another church. Maybe they're not in the OKC area, but how are ways that they can pursue these things?
Yeah, for I think the first thing is coming to worship.
Yeah.
You know, just our regular worship services. That's a great starting point where you can be fed, you can come together and worship. I mean, that's the bottom line there. But I think having a support group of guys, if you can break that down into a smaller group where you have some accountability with other people, you can speak into other people's lives. And that happens a number of different ways. So I could speak specifically at the Edmond location. We have a men's ministry. We have some groups that meet on Saturday mornings and Wednesday night and Thursday morning, a number of different things. We'll talk about where they can find that information.
Yep.
But that's a great place to start and to really start to create relationships with guys. But you don't have to go to a formal group like that. It could just be some of the guys that you hang out with and ask them, hey, do you want to meet? Let's put a group together and just go grab coffee on Friday morning. It doesn't have to be a church organized thing.
That's right.
And that's what I've been in a group now for 12, 13 years. And it was just that. We were in a Sunday school class together and I was like, I like that this guy's funny. I think this guy, you know, he seems like he's got some good knowledge. This guy seems like he needs some help. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, hey, would you guys all want to be in a group? Let's, you know, just, we'll read a book or something and talk about it.
Yeah.
And over time that has developed the endurance part of that. We've just have been very committed to it. And over time those relationships have grown and then I get support from that myself. I can offer support to others.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even this example of Paul and Timothy, and I'm sure there were others, obviously Titus, and I'm sure there's other disciples of Paul and guys that Timothy is walking alongside. Doing it alone or going at it alone is nearly impossible. It's got to be impossible, right? David Murphy here in our congregation, he talks about the six casket friends. Who are the six guys that they're stepping up because they're carrying your casket?
That's good.
And if you don't have those six friends, what do you need to do today to get one or two and start building that out? That's helped me tremendously to have a tribe of guys, the guys that you feel like you can call at any moment, or you can step in for them. What's the 3 a.m. analogy? You know, the guys that if you get a phone call at 3 a.m., are we?
They're going to answer.
Yeah, they're going to answer. You know they're going to show up on the side of the road if you need them. But that means I'm going to have to be a 3 a.m. friend as well. So that's a good reminder to step into these groups and to find men like that. So
And most guys don't have that. I think that that's the majority of men in our church and outside of the church don't have that.
Yeah.
So if people who are listening to this right now don't have that, don't freak out. Mm-hmm. It takes time and it takes intentionality, but it can happen.
Yeah.
It just, you have to put the effort forward and take some steps.
And the difference between a man of God and a man of the world, say, you know, if Paul were to contrast these, is that group of friends would be like-minded, like your original group you got together. These are guys that are going to pursue the things that I want to pursue or need to pursue. They're going to push me, I'm going to push them. You may have your six casket friends, but they're not pursuing the things that you want to pursue. So I think there would be a distinction there, right? That a man of the world would maybe have a different list of friends than a man of God because we're pursuing these things that he's lining out.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to piggyback off something you said, and not to steal something from the worship pastor over here, but you said go to worship.
Yeah.
And the thing that I thought of is go to worship with your kids. Like, be present in worship with your children. We have great children stuff. I'm not saying skip out on that. Maybe you go to a Sunday school class and get in one of those groups while your kids go to class, and then you go to worship together. And being a part of worship with your family and your children sitting beside you, and they see you worshiping. I mean, I think just sets such an incredible tone. And my kids are only about to be 6 and 4, but we get back in the car after worship and they're like, what was that song? Can we play that one? Like, yeah. And then we sing it together. And they're back there after a couple times, they know all the words and we're singing it together. And it's just such a foundational moment for us as a family to week after week be a part of that. And is it distracting sometimes? Sure. Like my kid's laying in the middle of the floor in the venue, coloring a sheet. I'm like, people are trying to walk by, dude. Like, come here. Like we can sit up here. Yeah. You know, we're in church. Like he's pastor's kid. He feels very comfortable at church.
My dad's a pastor. I slept in the back row.
And he's like, I'm good here. But sure, there are things that go on, but just being together as a family in those worship moments, I think is really important.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think to me, I keep learning, because being a man of God, you know, I know this is a dad's podcast, but there might be somebody listening who doesn't have a child. Mm-hmm. These things apply regardless if you have children, mm-hmm. but this is to the benefit of your children to do this if you have them. And so, you know, I used to be more involved for seasoning with our young adult ministry. And so I know that they're going to listen to these.
Yeah.
Because they consume, like, in a good way, so much. Like, they're so hungry.
So deep.
But they're like, but I'm not there yet. So they think, maybe I need to wait until I get there and then to apply this. Mm. These things are like, you need to be in this regardless if you have a child. But because we are talking in that vein, doing those things will be the natural overflow to our children. Mm-hmm. So it's benefit for all. Like I said, he wasn't telling Timothy this because he had a wife and kids. Mm-hmm. It was just for him. So I want to make sure I got that out. If there was somebody, you know, tuning in that doesn't have a child and feels like this may not apply, it totally applies. And then, you know, I think the other thing that I'm learning is this, the constant humility and how that, you know, one of the things you put on here is like what ambitions, but more so like, what can look different between us and a man of the world? And I think a man of the world will more times than not demand you serve him. Hmm. And a man of God serves. You know, Matthew 20, you know, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. So what does that mean? And I think it breeds so much humility in us. And you brought up worship, because I'll say this, you know, like typically one of the things we try to encourage is more men to even just sing.
Absolutely.
And there's power in that. And, you know, but some think it might be a little too emotional, and I totally get it. But if God created us in his image and women are a part of that image, and it doesn't mean that all women are, you know, I'm not doing the stereotypes. Like, I'm probably more emotional than my wife. So it's like, it's not a stereotype of that, but all, I would say, masculine and feminine traits are present, because that flows from God's being, like if we're created in that. So it's important for us to engage all of that, and emotions aren't bad. But I will say, when you were in the 80s driving your Trans Am, you were listening to Whitesnake and singing it out. Here I come again. You're like, you're giving it all you have.
We're at the Thunder game.
You can give it to the creator of the universe who saved your soul. Like, absolutely. Even if it's not so loud, even if it's just the heart posture. But so I think that the engaging, and it's funny you said like, oh, meet some guys. Like I do, I have a group of dudes that we meet Friday morning as often as we can. We do breakfast, and it's not every week is it like, you know, how are you pursuing the Lord? It's sometimes it's just talking shop, because it's important to build, you know, the community. You know, when we read the Last Supper, it doesn't say what they talked about before. It says after they had got done eating. Mm-hmm. I don't assume that they ate in silence. And then Jesus was like, now I'm going to talk. And now we're only going to talk about holy things. If you're needing community, but if you're needing something like, I have to talk, like, I would really encourage the quicker route of that would be getting to counseling professionally.
Yeah.
And admitting you need help is what is the true mark of a man. Mm-hmm. Because if you can't admit you need help in those things, but then you're like, oh, but I can't save myself, so I need Jesus. It's like, it's the same model. Like, the admitting that we cannot save ourselves or fix ourselves on our own strength is the mark of what I think manhood gives out, and what we should pursue. And so I think all of that, but having a place that has trust. And I always say this, the thing where when you say it, you're like, can I say that? Like, is it wrong for me to just say, you know, because we always like clean it in our mind before we want to say like, well, I shouldn't say that I'm a Christian, you know, like I'm upset with God. So it's like, but a place to say like, it made me mad about this. And you're like, should I say that out loud? But like, it's a space of trust that's going to point us back to truth, true accountability. The people carrying your casket are going to have calluses because we've gone to battle with each other in pursuit of holiness, not out of anger.
Yeah.
And so it's, to me, that's how I see it is, I'm going to ask you that hard thing. And if not, we're going to in love move towards that. But I, because I love you, I can't not ask these things. It's all of it.
That's a great point of building trust with, I guess you can use the word accountability. I'm still kind of workshopping that.
Everybody has their own definition.
Yeah, whatever you want to define that. But to build trust with a group of guys to do that. Thanks for bringing up counseling and care series. I know we have that at Crossings. There's a reason why there's anger management for men that is offered. One of these on the list, I would say gentleness is the one that I struggle the most with pursuing. Because I don't know how to pursue that as a man. I don't what does it mean to be gentle as a man? What, pursuing love? Okay, sure, I can do it with my kids and my wife, different love languages. I get that. But the opposite of gentleness, I would assume, is something towards anger. And we have a class for men to pursue gentleness by going through this, admitting you have a problem, like you just said. That is a great first step is, okay, gentleness is a thing I have a problem with because anger consumes me. Then maybe a next step before you even get in a men's group is talk about it in this support group. Not all men's groups are created equal to be a support group. So let's start with the support group, work on yourself, and then you have something to give to the other guys in a Bible study, for instance.
Well, and I know we're as navigating it, but it made me think when you said gentleness, but anger. And I think that common too is we can attribute that, and you didn't do this, but some think gentleness means weak.
Right.
But
well,
that's
what I'm saying.
It's a strength. And even I'm just in Proverbs 17, but it says better to be patient than powerful, better to have self-control than conquer a city.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times the male bravado is that like I conquer, I do these things. Well, anger is easy because it's the natural response.
Yeah.
Self-control is stronger.
Right.
To get to.
Right.
Like it's easy to get angry. It's easier to yell at your family or, you know, your kids, but it takes more strength through the guidance of the Holy Spirit to give gentleness, but still be maybe firm if needed.
Right.
But they feel like it's love. Proverbs 16, I wrote this, was kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. And so it's like the pursuit of these things, like the naturalness of our flesh, like I do this thing, I tell my wife this, when I feel like I naturally want to say, I just have to go, because my flesh wants to naturally respond. So I'm thinking of those things too, like the real strength comes from the pursuit of this. And when they're given out, that's the Spirit in you, but it exemplifies more of what a true man of God would be.
That's right.
The interesting thing, when you do that, when you do your breathe in, breathe out, the communication with your wife has to be pretty close. I think she has to understand you're not doing that. Like, I'm frustrated with you right now.
Correct.
I need to take a breath because I'm going to blow up on you. It's more, I'm frustrated with myself.
Correct.
That I'm about to lose my temper.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
It's not you. It's really me.
And that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she knows that it's when that happens, it's because I'm biting, you know, better to be slow to speak, slow to get angry, quick to listen. I'm reserving because I know my tongue could cut like a knife right now if I actually let my mouth speak. So, cause I got a quick wit. So I know, I know how to. So yeah, that's good.
Well, through Sunday school, at all of our locations, care series, we mentioned that they meet on, Monday nights and Thursday nights here at OKC location. Is it Tuesday nights in Edmond?
Correct.
Tuesday nights in Edmond. There's some men's groups I think get involved in. All of our guys can go to crossings.church/men, find our links or our contact information, then get a hold of us directly. And I know I would love to pair up a guy in a small group if he's not already in one. But it's vitally, vitally important to get in a group outside of Sunday morning worship, outside of Sunday school. You got to get in that group that knows you, knows what you're pursuing, and can help you along the way.
And I'll throw this one out too, just because we have a ton of people at Crossings involved, and even some of us in it. But for those who like, scheduling of like maybe even where you live or what your job is, that still might be hard to do within the church. CBMC is a local ministry.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
It's for men, businessmen that they may not have the ability to get as plugged in as we're all saying for mm-hmm. in a church as much as they want. Now, we still want them in the church community, but this provides a biblical community for men to be in, to have the exact same thing we're talking about, but it might be for men of all different churches, but still under the same vein. And it's a great ministry. And I really encourage that. We have a lot of men in our church I know involved.
Yes,
but absolutely. That's another outlet if you can't do it all the time here at a church building.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think we'd all push that. Like, it's not about Crossings.
Correct.
No.
Because there's a ton of great churches mm-hmm. all around this area.
And we're not going to be perfect even in our provision of it.
Right.
Like, some might come and we might get it wrong in some. And the goal is that they can find that somewhere in the church and that we do our job to acknowledge where we've fallen and say, you know, do our part as a man to ask for forgiveness, kind of those things, and the honesty of that, but helping people find where they can really truly be known and loved. So
that's good.
I do think these other things are good for another conversation at some point, just the other questions, because we dipped into it, but like, I remember telling Katie, I was like, I don't have all of these, like how to pursue faith, but I can talk on man of God, like the ambitions and goals of a non-believer from like the corporate structure.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying we need to do it now. I just mean like, I think that's a good conversation too. Like, okay, what does it mean to give priority to the kingdom? This flows to that, but really it is like, cause I think even the scripture of he's talking a lot about including like not pursuing money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is the corporate vice for some. You know, how do you navigate? It's not wrong to have money, but what is your goal? And goes into tithing. And if you're not get generous now, don't think you're waiting for that big pay bump to then be generous. Like, it's a way of who you are. It's not just something you step into.
Well, and that's kind of that question I was wanting to sprinkle in somewhere of what is the one that you ask your kids this, what is the one thing that you think is the most important thing that I'm trying to teach you, or what's the one principle in life that I'm trying to tell you, to teach you about? And, you know, if they're saying to be successful or to get a good job or to get a good education or whatever, if it doesn't, that probably means I'm leaning towards that way and I'm pushing my kids in a way that I don't realize, where I want them to say the number one thing is to know and love God. Yeah. That's then everything else kind of comes from that.
This is what it means to be successful.
Correct.
This is
it. Right. Yeah. I want you to be successful in loving God.
Yeah.
And I've found too, even in my situation and with Ben, it's like the thing that I want the most to see him grow in is probably the thing that I'm least modeling. Mm. And so like, I think internally I can feel gratitude, but I'm struggle sometimes I feel like I'm being fake if I'm like, oh, thank you so much all the time. But I realize when I'm at home, you know, we're all kind of a little let guard down, that I realize when I'm like, man, I just wish he could be more grateful. I'm like, maybe that's probably what I'm modeling the least in terms of desires for his growth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been a challenge to me of like, if he's struggling, then it's probably because he's not seeing me model it as well. Now, he's his own person. He can still struggle with it. But I have to be honest of like, maybe I'm not actually modeling what that means to be grateful.
With my 10-year-old and 7-year-old, I've been thinking about, there's a difference between being childlike and childish. Mm-hmm. And there's times when a 9-year-old is going to act like a 9-year-old.
Correct.
And it's just appropriate. But hang on a second. Why are you all of a sudden a 4-year-old? Mm-hmm. That's what you said when you were 4. That's what you did when you were 6. What are you doing? You know, call them up. Like, say, no. I've seen you do better, be better, act better. Like, I want more for you than this.
Correct.
Let's get out of this childish stuff. And that's helped me to kind of have the mindset, well, that was a childlike thing. Of course they're going to do that.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to want that and not this, or talk back to mom.
But it's true, because it's like you're holding in balance. And this is, again, what I'm learning. So I'm not here to teach y'all anything, just giving you insight to what goes through my mind, is that like, I have to be aware I'm raising a future adult. Like, I have to start raising them for the world they're going to step into when they're no longer in our, you know, area. but they're not there yet.
Yep.
So I can still struggle in that I want you to be mature like a 25-year-old at nine. And then it's like, you know, it's, so that's, you know, that's the part that's difficult is you're balancing that. I can't just raise, like, let him be a kid and like 24/7, he's just a kid, but he's not learning things that will benefit, yeah. But let him be a kid. Yeah. So like once you figure that out, let me know.
It's lots of strategy.
I'd love to have that because I'm trying to get better at it for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Well, thanks again, guys. This incredible conversation for our men and our dads to take in. And what I just want to take time and pray for them. We sure. have a lot of guys listening and just want to pray over them right now. And as they consider what it means to pursue these things. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going. Holy Father, Lord, you are so gracious and you have blessed us and we honor you for that. Just the conversations that we can have about you around a round table and what it means to be a man of God who pursues these things. Lord, reveal your righteousness, your love, your patience, your gentleness to us so we can share that with our kids and our family and people around us on a daily basis. And Lord, I have a special prayer right now for the guys listening. Any guy who is taking this in and just feels lost and maybe hopeless and maybe alone that doesn't know where to start. Lord, would you press on his heart and put on his mind a way to connect to your people and to your church? Because Lord, we know that your righteousness and your goodness comes in the body of Christ that you've built for us. Lord, we love you for that and we thank you. And it's in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thanks, guys.